Hello, listeners. Welcome to Inner and Outer Reality, In Reality and Outside. I'm your host, Sean Penalber, and with us today we have...
Anastasia Karadzis.
Anastasia Karadzis. Stacy.
Yes.
what are your thoughts on, like, existence or, like, life or anything? What's the first thing that comes to your head when it comes to, like, broad, grand things?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a big believer in karma.
Uh-huh.
And if you are good in life, that good things will happen to you in this life and in the next one.
In all of them, or?
In all, yeah.
Yeah.
In all of them.
When it feeds into that, and I do have some belief in karma as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, when it comes to, like, what is good or bad, you know, like, because,
yeah.
Let's take, for example, like, a meteor crashing into a planet. Is mm-hmm. that good or bad? I mean, it's nothing. It's just, like, a
Whoa.
Natural thing, you
yes.
know? Like,
that's true.
And so it's bad. Like, if we were living on that planet, you know, it's bad. But, like,
right.
I guess it's good for the meteor or the planet or something, you know? So when it comes to, like, particles and, like, theories or stuff like that, is, like, how does karma relate into these moments? And, like,
mm-hmm.
is it only... to humans, or is it to animals? Is it to, like, literally a tree? You know,
yeah.
like, did trees get good and bad karma?
Huh, that's interesting to think about that. I guess in terms of the meteor, I would think, like, I don't know. I mean, like, not that something bad happened, but that it's just, like, the life just needs to continue on.
Yeah, it's kind of
Huh.
a hint of fatalism, which is, like, predeterminism, like,
uh-huh.
things have been determined, but they also haven't. Like, it's kind of a Schrodinger's cat kind
yes.
of thing, where it's, like, the future is both alive and dead, and so is the present. We're just, like,
mm-hmm.
we don't know until we've observed it. Like,
yeah.
'Cause, as Einstein has said, time is relative.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the future is happening right now. Like, if we look to the stars in the sky, like,
yeah.
the sun is 8 minutes ahead of us. So we're, like, feeling the sun's 8 minutes, you know, past light.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so we're in the future right now. But, like, we are experiencing the past.
Yeah.
And we don't know what future will be because anything could happen, you know.
Exactly.
But, like, in, like, when it comes to, like, multiverse stuff, everything happens, you know, in some way, but I don't know, I'm
yeah.
tangenting.
Well, they had found that parallel universe last year.
Go
did
on.
You agree?
What?
Did you see
I
that?
I might have.
Or like they were like, we finally found a parallel universe. And I was like, why is this not bigger? Like, why are people
yeah.
not talking about this? And I don't know, I was thinking, like, well, in another universe, the pandemic and will not have happened.
Yeah, or maybe
know?
Even never happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, can I get in that universe?
Yeah, right.
which is wild to think about because it's like, we're in this time right now, and this is what we know.
This is our reality.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that, or I postulate, because I can't prove this or anything. But
I like that word.
yeah, it's basically just kind of, you're proposing, you're postulating. You're,
yeah.
This is what I think, you know.
Uh-huh.
Of essentially that we are each we are in one whole surreality
mm-hmm.
And we're all in our own individual realities in this greater, like, surreality. And so it's like literally
yeah.
like we were talking about on the last podcast, like, we each experience our own unique perspective and realities
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they intermingle with this whole, like, interconnectedness, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, not just, like, we, as in, like, humans, like, are experiencing, like, reality different,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think, like, literally every particle that makes our entire beings in existence is also within their own reality, if that makes sense, to
yeah.
like, postulate.
Uh-huh.
And so that means, like, we don't have, like, again, it's just all theory, that I would say that, like, every particle kind of has a soul, you know.
Mm,
so it's like
mm-hmm.
human, like, what humans are is like trillions and trillions of, you know, souls or
yeah.
particles or energy, you know, or whatever we're made of. What I would call the funk, because essentially, uh-huh. like, how much do you know about my funk theory?
A little bit.
Well, what do you understand about it? Because this is the best way to, like, learn about it or add on to it, is get other people's experience. Because, again, we all experience it differently.
Yeah. Very little.
So ask questions.
Oh, I mean, what exactly is
essentially...
I read it, I mean, but yeah. I still don't understand.
I mean, because it's very vague and it's kind of hard. And what I've been trying to do in the last few years is try to learn how to best describe it, you know, because it is a phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And so how I would best describe it currently is essentially the funk is literally everything and anything, and also everything that can or ever will be, stuff mm-hmm. that we will never understand or comprehend. Yeah. And so, like, if my fist is existence,
okay,
it is within some atmosphere, right? Like, there's this, you know, everything around it.
Yes.
Right? And what, whatever, you know, like, let's also include non-existence in here.
Okay.
So, like, if we were to, like, go into, like, some parallel alternate reality, or we were to discover more than existence,
uh-huh.
that's still within this bubble. It's, like, great bubble, right?
Yeah.
And so, even if we were to, like, if this bubble were, like, an alternate reality or something uh-huh. like that, or, like, let's say that we were in a simulation, that simulation is within something. And so, it's, like, the funk is basically the all-containing thing, and it's what... is everything is inside. Mm-hmm. And so, like, basically, it's what we're all made out of, you know. And I would describe it as basically this giant kind of, like if the whole cosmos and everything mm-hmm. was a brain.
Okay.
And it's kind of each and every one of our experiences, not just humans, but, like, again, every single particle is teaching this experience, the funk,
mm-hmm.
what it is like to exist. And so every experience, like you sitting right there,
mm-hmm.
now the funk knows what it is like for that to happen because you are doing it right now.
Okay.
And so it's just going to continue expanding from that because not because of you mm-hmm. and everything that led up to you in this moment in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's basically this forever expanding thing. And again, if we take that idea that time is relative mm-hmm. and that the future is already happening... Let's say that, like, they proposed that the universe is 13.8 billion years old.
Okay, yeah.
And so here we are right now, mm-hmm. after 13.8 billion years, right? All these particles and everything got together and created humans on Earth and animals. Who's to say that, like, another 13.8 billion years, or even, like, 13.8 trillion years down the line,
mm-hmm.
something not just on Earth, but, like, anywhere in the galaxy... you know, is able to be omniscient or omnipresent, you know,
mm-hmm.
and able to, like, look at everything and kind of like God, you know. And what if, like, we are a part of that journey, you know, like, we are feeding, you know, that God or whatever, or the God, mm-hmm. you know, that created this or anything.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been rambling. Like, what are your thoughts?
Well, I was just thinking about, like, well, when you mentioned this, the particles on us, or, like, I think about regeneration and, like, how the skin on your body kind of, like, sheds itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, like, you're shedding that time.
Yeah.
You know, that it's, like, your past self is just, like... It's, like, you're no longer that person.
Yeah, you're evolving. It's,
yes.
Do you know the idea of Theseus' ship?
No, I don't think so.
So Theseus' ship is, like, if you have a ship and you replace a piece of it,
mm-hmm.
Like, let's say a wood is rotting, you take that out and you replace it with another piece, but you mm-hmm. save that other wood and you build another ship mm-hmm. with it, right? And so you had the first ship that's been replaced, and you replace every part and you take all those parts and you make another ship.
Yeah.
Do you still have the same ship?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you have,
I don't
and now you
so.
Also have two ships.
Yeah.
You have basically, like, all these new ships, and so that's, like, this idea of, like, everything is kind of constantly evolving and changing and, like you said, shedding its skin and mm-hmm. evolving into something else. And so,
yeah,
I think we're all that, you know, like, we're all basically kind of, like, prehensile conscious tentacles of the funk, and we're, like, mm-hmm. exploring every little nook and cranny of the universe and cosmos to provide existence, and, like, for some reason, you know,
yeah,
we don't know yet why.
Yes. I'm a person who needs to have a purpose in life, and so I think it's like, I think I know what my purpose is, But, like, spending time to find that is just, like, I don't know. It's like, and then I don't know what will happen in the future. And my purpose that I think I will have might change.
Yeah.
And other people might influence that, you know.
Everything will.
Yeah.
And I would argue that, like, literally all will happen. Like, both things will and
everything
won't happen.
Everything will happen.
And you just won't know until you reach that point of observation. Like, you're within a superposition of unknowing until that superposition chooses up or down.
Yeah.
Life is crazy.
I know. I'm really bad with uncertainty.
What do you think, like, the meaning of life is? Like, what do you find purpose in?
I find purpose in community.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what gives me hope.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Super important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, like, churches are so big, because it's a great place for community.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's where, like, people can go and meet community. And there's not a lot of places like that outside of church and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not, like, places... I mean, there's this park, you know, but, like, it's nowhere near, like, a church, because churches have events and they throw things and they go out and they do stuff for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, you know, if people don't have a certain community already, then I can see the appeal of going to church all the time.
Yeah, because, like, there's people there.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to be your friends. You
yeah.
Or at least you hope.
Yeah, right.
Because there are those Sunday Christians that are just different.
Yeah.
Or not just Christians, but any religion.
Yeah.
I think that in all of my, I guess, research, you know, or my experience, I think it is so important to just, like, be present.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with or without community, like, no matter what you're doing or who you are, like, again, like, you could be not even human. Like, you could be a stick on the ground, and your purpose is to be that stick right there. And eventually, like, that stick will either become, like, part of a bird's nest, or it'll decay, like, it'll, you know, go back to the planet, you know, and become fertilizer or soil. Like, it has this, like, significant purpose, and each of us are like that.
Yes.
And while we're alive, at least, like, we can do way more than a stick can, you know? And so it's like, we have these opportunities to, like, shine or, like, create or just live, you know?
Yeah. If we want to.
Exactly. You don't have to. But even by not doing that, you're still having, by existing, even by being here within the funk, you are still causing significant influence and impact on everything.
Yes. I have a hard time with that, because in therapy, they're always like, you know, you have worth as a person, even if you're just existing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, but I mean, it's hard for me to, like, not tie myself.
It's because we, like, compare ourselves to all these things and, you know, fame and celebrity and stuff. It's just like, when you're looking at a painting, like, say there's, like, the tiniest little speck, you know, like, they use, like, a hairbrush. That still has significant importance. And, like, let's say that you are that dot, you know, it's like, which we kind of are. Like, if you look at the cosmos, we are insignificantly just, like, small.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's a good way to put it, is, like, all of the dots make up.
They add up. Yeah. They make everything.
Yeah.
Just as all the particles make ourselves, our experience, you know, like. Pennies add up, you know, like, they become dollars, and dollars become...
You can go to Coinstar and
get
a lot of money. There's a feeling that I get about the universe whenever, I don't know, it's a certain time when I'm driving sometimes, and, like, I hear a really good song, or, like, and then I see, like, the sunset or something. It's like, that usually gives me a good feeling, that's like, everything will be all right, and I just feel, like, so happy in that moment. It's just like, and I, like, I cannot describe it, because there are days where I'm just like, I don't feel that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Except in that moment, and I'm just like, wow,
you, like,
life really
lose connection.
Is beautiful, and I'm here in this earth existing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would call that in my funk theory, like the funk providing, essentially.
Okay.
And I think that there are moments of this in every single moment of our lives.
Yeah.
Where essentially, like, and this is something I'm trying to point out in my thesis, essentially, mm-hmm. or my treatise, about how everything is kind of interconnected, and that there are, like, the way that life guides us into things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, have you ever, like, been thinking of someone and suddenly they called you?
Yeah, yeah. Stuff like that.
That is what I call the funk providing. Mm-hmm. Like, and again, us being humans and our brains becoming prediction machines,
mm-hmm.
I think that we are tapping into this greater funk.
Mm-hmm.
And that I believe that we're, you know, we're still going to evolve, you know, into this greater thing. And so I think with this collective consciousness, we're able to tap into those moments, and that's when we feel them.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever, like, been listening to, when you listen to music,
mm-hmm.
and you listen to a really good song, do you kind of, like, get, like, you feel it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say that is kind of a funk feeling. And it's kind of like the feeling of, like, when you're on the edge of your seat, like,
mm-hmm.
like, when you're anticipating something, or you know something's about to happen, like if you're, like, watching a movie, or, like, you're in a car accident, you know, and, like, things just slow down.
Yeah.
I think that those are moments of, like, the funk providing, you know.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that car accident thing. Yeah, it's really time slowing down.
Yeah.
But also not. I don't know. I mean, because it just happened so fast.
It's too. Both.
Yes, both.
Because, again, time is relative, and it's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's super possible that we're all moving. I mean, we are all moving at different speeds and stuff.
Yeah, yes.
But, like, I don't know how to phrase what I'm getting at. But, like, so, for example, when it comes to quantum space and
mm-hmm.
Basically, the higher we are, let's just use Earth for example.
Mm-hmm.
The higher you are in elevation, you move at a different speed.
Yeah.
Like, someone going around the Earth on a plane basically is time traveling, like,
mm-hmm.
a millisecond faster than everyone on the Earth, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, who's to say we're not all each doing that kind of in our own way in reality? But our brains have adapted to perceive
mm-hmm.
Correctly to where it's not like, let's say you're tripping on acid and things are just, like, you know, kind of crazy and hectic and you're seeing all these things.
Yeah.
Our brains have, like, learned how to, like, you know, focus more on, like...
Uh-huh. Whereas, like, the your trip is the real time?
Kind of.
Is that what you're saying?
Real time or real perception and reality. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, there could be fourth dimensional beings and creatures right around us, like, you know, that we can't see
mm-hmm.
because we exist in the third dimension, and the fourth dimension
we
just can't perceive.
Well, I think animals can perceive that.
I kind of think so, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, yeah, there are just so many instances where it's, like, I think, you know, I've seen a cat or a dog just kind of, like, go wild, but it's, like, there's literally nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, what are you seeing? I think they can see things that we can't.
Or they're hearing...
Or hearing, yeah.
The ground move or something like that. Because they can predict... Some animals can predict earthquakes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that... again, another one of my postulations is... or... Maybe not a postulation, but a theory I have is what I call a significance field.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, like... Let's say... You know how, like, there's magnetic fields and stuff, like...
Mm-hmm.
Or gravitational fields.
Yeah.
I think that there's also, or again, I postulate that there's also fields of significance.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, it happens with human beings, it happens with particles and stuff. No matter where you are in time and space, if there's more significance in this area
mm-hmm.
at a certain point in time, then reality itself is, you know, geared towards these things.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like just great moments in history. You know, like, they had... some great significance, you know, like
mm-hmm.
millions of years ago, they wouldn't, you know, not even thought of.
Yeah.
But, like, the significance factor of that moment caused it to happen in that million years or be led up to that moment.
Like, oh, yeah, like everything is converging
yeah.
to cause that.
and each significance kind of leads into the next one.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird to talk about these things because it's like we do and don't understand them, you know, like.
I know, yeah. And there are some things that can't be explained.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
And even if they, like, were, like, to understand them completely, it's, like, it's going to be different for everyone. Because, again, we each perceive everything in our own reality.
Right, yeah.
Just kind of experiencing life right now. Just living in the moment.
Yeah. There's one feeling that I have sometimes. It's like, I guess, I don't know if it would be called, like, it's like when I look in the mirror sometimes, I see myself, mm-hmm. but then I'm like, I don't see myself. I don't know if that makes sense, but like.
Try to explain it, or go on. But yeah. I kind of know what you mean.
It's like. Not an out of, it's like not also kind of an out of body experience too.
Kind of dissociation.
I guess that's what it would be called. Yeah. Dissociation where it's like, it's like I know, I realize that I'm existing as a human being mm-hmm. and I'm like, my brain just kind of like, what? I guess like short circuits or something. I'm just like, oh my God, what? I'm existing on this planet. And then I'm just like, I don't recognize myself. I don't know. It's like, I'll have that from time to time.
I think that, again, here comes the word postulate. I postulate that experience is, again, since we are all the funk, like, mm-hmm. we are all just this, like, kind of creation of time and space, you know, we're just kind of particles vibrating together to make all these experiences, that I believe that we are each other. So, like, even though I'm experiencing Champanel right now and you're mm-hmm. experiencing Anastasia, mm-hmm. We are just doing it at different times and the same times. Mm-hmm. So, like, when we die, when each of us die or something like that, we just become something else. Yeah. We just kind of, like, move. Like, it's all the same stuff. We're
like
all,
but the energy is just, like, transferring.
Kind of, yeah. Because energy can't be destroyed. Energy just transfers.
Yes.
And so... I think that, like, we're all this kind of same experience, but we all just, like, are at different times. Like, I think that, like, mm-hmm. Just we are, like, everything is, since we're all the funk, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's that feeling that we're tapping into sometimes. It's just that, like, we experience each other and,
yeah. I see what I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. but also I'm just thinking about, like, my brain is tangenting off into, like, studies on, like, schizophrenia or, like, brain disorders and stuff of mm-hmm. how, like, what if essentially, like, the voices that schizophrenics hear or people with broken, like, with mental disabilities or anything, mental illness, like, what if mm-hmm. They are experiencing time differently? So, like, the voices that they're hearing are coming from either the future or the past mm-hmm. or, like, literally, like, something someone said, like, a few days ago that they, like, you know, heard or didn't hear, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a weird phenomenon to suggest.
Yeah. Have you read that or is it something that
well,
you've seen?
One of the lectures I was watching the other day was... talking about that, how, like, what if schizophrenics, they were just proposing that theory, like, what if schizophrenics experience time different, and that's why the way that they're stimulated and the way that they mm-hmm. interpret things are so different, because they're just, their brains are perceiving time differently.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah. Okay. I mean, who's to know?
Yeah, you exactly. know? Yeah. Only with further research and study and experience mm-hmm. and it's really hard to, like, even get those cases because, like, someone with mental illness kind of also doesn't know what's happening within their own head, you know? Mm-hmm. It's different for everyone. You can't, like, just say an absolute for anyone.
I mean, yeah, there's still so much that we don't know about the brain.
Yeah,
like, so much.
Do you ever think that we'll be able to upload ourselves, like, into computers and stuff?
I don't know. I don't want to think that we will, that will happen.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. There was, oh my gosh, I forget the name of this movie, but it was a foreign film about these farm workers who go into, like, a Matrix-type setting, and they work through these, through the Matrix, but they're not there. It's like they're in these little pods. You know, it's like they're controlling these arms.
Uh-huh. They're like surrogates.
Yes. Yeah. I'll have to find out the name of that movie.
Yeah, please do.
It looked really interesting, and, yeah.
Because, I mean, like, what if we are that? Like, what if someone is just, you know, kind of playing The Sims with us?
And right.
All of these people are just, like, you know,
oh my God, we're
controlled
Sims.
By different things. Yeah. All Bodo fall.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Clap, clap, me, clap, clap. Chow, chow.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Plus.
Sims speak.
And we can't prove any of that, you know, like, the only thing we know epistemically, like, so epistemology is basically the study of knowledge, and so the only thing that we know is that we think, that we are able to perceive and, you know, have our own experiences, and that's the only thing we know. Everything else cannot be proved, like, because, it's like, you can't say the experience of another thing or being, you know.
Yeah, that's true. And some things, like, we will never understand because we will never know that experience.
Yeah. Just like, so the observable universe, the farthest we know, like, it would take us, I think, like, trillions of years to reach the farthest that we can see or observe.
Oh, okay.
And so by the time we got there, it wouldn't even exist anymore. Like, it'd be something completely different, you know? Like, even traveling faster than the speed of light. Like, there's no way that we would ever be able to experience what is out there. Mm-hmm. Because by the time we get there, it's gone. Or it's something else already, you know?
Yeah.
And that's mind-blowing. Like, how big the cosmos is and the universe is. And it's all within something, you know? Like...
Yeah.
This is nice. The weather, it got cooler.
I know. The breeze is really nice. Also, school just let out. There was, like, this
whole
influx of...
Yeah, I saw them all lining up over there. I was like, well, what are they doing? I guess school's out.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Man.
To be in school again.
Yeah. I miss school. I like learning. Like, I think that's one of the most important things is education. Mm-hmm. Like... Because the more you're educated, the more that your brain learns how to perceive.
Yes.
You know, once you learn something, like, you can then perceive it in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going back to school in the fall.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Same thing, or?
No, I'm going to be studying reading the language arts. So, like, how people learn to read and write. And, teaching it. Like, the theory of it, and just, like, how people develop.
That's crazy.
That. Yeah.
So you know the story of the Tower of Babel.
With the languages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, these people were building a tower to the heavens, and then the God essentially was like, oh, no, you can't come up here. And so, like, he made them all speak different languages to misunderstand each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're kind of in a point... with technology and existence, where it's like, we can fix that. It's like, if we're not understanding each other, you know, like, we can now use technology to assist that. Like, let's say, like, I don't know French or anything, but there's apps where, like, I can talk English and then it would just translate it to French, you know, like, instantly.
Yeah.
Or those, like, machines that you can take now that where you just type or you talk into it and then it, like, says it in Japanese, you know. Like,
oh, really?
Like, yeah,
oh,
you can,
I
like, go to Japan and, like,
it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so you can just talk to people and then they do the same thing. They talk in Japanese and it says it in English.
Wow.
You can just talk with this box, you know? And so...
That's wild.
Let's say that, like, there's a sequel to the Tower of Babel. Like, let's say that, like, millions of years later, or thousands of years later, now all these people who were suddenly struck with by God's power to, like, not understand each other, suddenly start working together to be able to understand each other. What happens then? You know, like, does God be like, oh, okay, now y'all can build this tower? Or
yeah, like, good job, y'all. You broke the code.
You worked together. Yeah. This is what I was challenging you for. Because God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just very curious about that. Like, and that's what I'm kind of trying to approach with my theory of the funk, is something that can be understood by anyone and anything. Like, what I would enjoy is, like, this information continuing to grow and expand by not just myself, but, like, by anything, you know, like, just like how Plato and Socrates, people are still expanding off of their ideas, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, we need to keep researching all these ideas and things until essentially, like, I can just, like, look at you or, like, make a smell, you know, and you just know, you know, like, you instantly just know. And I think that we're kind of getting closer with stuff like Elon Musk's Neuralink right now. Like, so they're putting these, like, computers into brains. Like, they just put one into a pig brain. But they also recently, they just put out a video where they had one in a monkey brain, and it was playing Pong with its brain. Like, no controls or nothing. It was just, like, moving the thing up and down. Yeah, with its brain. Like, telepathically.
Whoa. Oh,
yeah.
My God. That's, okay, that's scary to me.
Right? And so, if it ever gets to the event of, like, let's say that sitting here, we can just talk through our brains. And, like, instead of stumbling with our words, we would be able to just understand each other. Because you would know exactly what each other were thinking, and we would know why we were thinking that almost instantaneously, like, as fast as, you know, brains think, you know. And so I'm very curious, a world like people are afraid of a world like that, I guess, or people, like, whenever they hear that kind of if we were all able to, you know, like, look into each other's heads and see what we were thinking, people are, like, kind of, you know, brushed away with that. They're like, oh, I don't want people inside my head and stuff. But it's like, I personally think that it would be a much more accountable existence. Because, like, if someone were going to do a bad thing, you know, or anything, the entire planet would just suddenly know. And we would all be able to do something about it, you know, like, either physically or mentally, you know. And you would be able to, like, I'm curious, like, how conversations would go. Because you would just, there wouldn't be any misunderstanding because you're mentally, you know, connecting. And so you just understand each other.
Yeah. In some instances, I think that would be better. I think that happens with siblings, though. You know, like, between me and my sister, like, we can just look at each other and know. Like, I'll know how she's feeling if I look at her and then she's, like, acting a certain way. I'm like, okay, well, that's probably, I mean, not exactly what she's thinking, but, like, or we can, like, look at each other and, like,
you can make a fair assessment.
Has happened, and, like, we can just laugh about it.
Like, the doors. Like,
The doors.
That's funny. I'd like to experience that sometime.
Yeah. You can go inside the church.
Yeah?
If you're not Greek Orthodox, you can go and experience the service.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. They won't be, like, where's your car? You know, like, where's your Greek Orthodox car?
Methodist? Get out of here. You're Taoist? We don't welcome that here.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's open. I mean, people can go.
I trust more religions when they're open than when they're closed.
Like, now, people might be like, who's this new person? But, you know, you could, like, just go in there.
Yeah. I mean, like, kind of like Scientology, or, like, you know it's a cult when they start to keep secrets.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There was a meme, though, that recently about the Greek Orthodox Easter service, where someone was like, people think you're in a cult when you, like, go outside of the church in a procession with, like, the candles. You're like, everyone is, like, holding candles and chanting. Yeah. So there was, like, a meme about
that.
That,
like, is so cultish, though.
Like, I know, right? It's like, you're in a cult when you do that. It's like, it does seem like that sometimes.
And they've been doing it for hundreds of years.
They have.
I'm trying to think of the
Yeah.
things that, like, Methodists did, like Palm Sunday. Like, when Jesus, like, came riding on the donkey, like, everyone was waving palms. And when I was a kid at church, like, on Palm Sunday, they would hand out, like, palm things.
Oh,
and, like, everyone would, like, walk under, and everyone would just, like...
Oh, like entire ones?
Or just, like, the leaves.
Oh,
like,
the leaves.
Big old palm leaves. And they would hand it out, you know, like, whole, like...
Whoa,
yeah,
okay.
Like, big old palms, you know, like...
Whoa, that's something I've never experienced.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, like, they would have a parade, and everyone would get to walk through the parade while everyone was just waving palms above them, you know, like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Very cult-like.
I agree.
You know, like,
yeah.
Why are we doing this? Is this how we celebrate God?
Like, yeah.
By waving palms over each other?
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. It's so funny, like, that we trust old traditions, like... Because, I mean, who's to say that, like, because Christianity wasn't the first religion. And so it's like, and I know that, like, it's very, it was colonized, you know, like, Christianity was basically forced upon so many different cities. And now, I know I'm Christian because Christianity is so prominent in America. You know, like, had I been born in India, I probably wouldn't be Christian, you know, and so it's like.
Yeah,
I think we need to just work together. You know, like, we're all just existing. You know, within the funk.
Yes.
Man, we still got a bit of time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Any grand thoughts or like what's something that like you. Enjoy like digging into, I guess, like, or diving deep in, like, when you're talking with someone, like, what's something you know will like just be like, oh yeah, wow, that's a
yeah,
I guess that's my job.
I told you I didn't prepare anything.
yeah I mean, my idea with these podcasts is to put us in our most vulnerable moments to where it's like you're like kind of you're pure, you're in your purest form, you know.
Oh. Well, vulnerable. That would be, I guess, like, relating. I can always talk about, like, relationships. Like, relating to one another, people's families, or, like, I don't know. Reading about people's relationships fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I tend to like TV shows or movies that, like, I don't know, focuses on those issues, and books that have, like, really strong... relationships between like women or I don't know, because I think it's like, you know, you make friends with people and then you're like, well, why are you friends with this certain person versus this other person? And then sometimes you can't even describe why you don't like someone, but you're just like, this is just that vibe, I don't like them, we don't get along, and
vibes are both right and wrong, you know, it's like
so that's something that I think about a lot.
I'm trying to expand off of that. I'm blanking. Just being outside is just like, there's so much going on.
Yeah. I've noticed that they've started doing this like field day thing over here.
That's cool.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, like, relate back to relations and stuff. Like, I think that, like, what I'm seeing or observing right now is, like, kind of... we experienced cancel culture for so long, and we're still kind of within it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, like, it seems that people are starting to understand that it's while you should be holding people accountable, cancel culture creates, like... it creates a worse environment because, like, you're basically isolating these people and making them worse people, you know, like, they can't, you're not integrating them into society, you know, you're abandoning them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they kind of, depending on who they are or what they've done, who could say, like, they deserve it and stuff.
Right, like, you kind of brought, like, they brought it upon themselves.
Yeah, like, if Hitler were around, you know, like, he'd totally be canceled after all that stuff. Like,
yes.
But, like, how do we... In relationships, like, how do we, like, reach these people? You know, like, how do we... make great change, you know, or establish like what is good or bad, because what I would call toxic reflection is a huge part of our society right now. Like, there's been so much trauma throughout all of human history that, like, trauma breeds more trauma. And so it's just, like, we're kind of in this, like, loop of just, like, unintentionally hurting each other. But, like, some people do intentionally do it to each other. And so, like, how do we escape that? And I think, again, it's by being accountable and holding each other accountable.
Going to therapy.
Yeah. And so, like, I can only see, like, in a perfect world, not even perfect, because I don't think perfection exists. But, like, again, if we were able to just, like, kind of telepathically read each other's minds and understand, we would be able to hold each other accountable to a much higher degree.
Yeah. Or be more, be more understanding.
Yeah.
Of things. You hot girl. Well, there's also something called, like, a trauma bond.
Yeah.
Between relationships, which is, like, I mean, it can be good in that time or bad, depending on, like, how long it goes on.
The circumstances, who you are, everything. What is it? Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, which is that?
Like, where it was that case in Stockholm where, like, these bank robbers, like, were holding these people hostage, and then by the time they released them, like, everyone was in, the hostages were, like, appreciative and loving with their captors and stuff.
Wow, okay. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. If someone is, like, kidnaps you or something.
A trauma bond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so, like, you become attached to this person. Like, they could be doing a bad thing, but then they're, like, not a bad person or any of it, you know? Like, maybe they're robbing a bank, but they're Robin Hood, you know? They're trying to feed a whole city, and so it's just, like, oh, you're doing this bad thing, but, like, I understand. Like,
yeah.
I'll help you rob the bank.
Yeah. You're like,
and then suddenly you're in trouble with the police.
Ooh. Yeah.
Which, how do you feel about that? Do you think we should abolish
the police? Oh, my God, yeah. I was going to be like, that's a whole nother thing. I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, ultimately, I think it's, like, it's not really doing any good. It's, like, I think there would be less crime and just if, like, people's needs were met, like, basic needs, you know, like the wage gap or whatever, and the mental health and all these
medical needs.
Yes.
Yeah.
If people's quality of life was better, then they wouldn't
need to break
things.
The rules.
Yeah.
They wouldn't need to go rob each other or kill each other stuff, because they'd be being taken care of.
Like, yeah.
And we'd be able to hold each other accountable. But yeah, I think that, like, the divide is, like, conservatives, I guess, they're like, oh, you can't abolish the police. Who's going to, like, who are you going to call if someone's doing this thing, yada, yada, yada. But, like, the thing is, like, I think we need to upgrade the police, I guess, in a way. Like, not, like, get rid of them, but make them the social workers, you know? Like, change the whole system, you know? Rather than, like, them being this, like, military force, you know, like, make them a mental force, you know, like, teach them how to sit down and de-escalate a situation, you know?
Yeah, like, or just replacing them with people who already know how to do that.
Exactly, yeah, and make them the police, you know, quote-unquote.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Because, I mean, like, I've been listening to this Pod Save the People.
Okay.
And so, like, I've been, like, super into more, like, black activism and, like, learning about, like, Black Lives Matter and, like, what to do in these situations, just being educated. And it really is eye-opening to just, like, to hear how, like, black people will call the police for help, you know? And it's, like, they'll just, like, for a mental health check, you know? Or the other day, learning about, like, how the home could be, like, it could be a well home, you know, like, everything could be perfectly fine. And, like, let's say there's one abusive person in this home. That could be enough for, like, a judge to be like, okay, this home is not a safe environment. And then they'll take their kids away just because of that.
Yeah.
Like, no, no real abuse or anything. Mm-hmm. And then that just feeds the system, you know, because, like, then they can't get these kids back, and they want the kids in these foster homes because the mm-hmm. more kids, the more money they get, you know, and it just feeds, like, it America really is just founded on racism. Like, most of our policies and all of, like, the things that, all the rules that connect our lives, you know, just, like, are yeah. built for certain people, you know, and they take advantage of everyone else.
It's very true. I think I was talking with someone, a friend recently, and we were, I think this is what I asked. It was like, do you think we will see, like, the police abolished in our lifetime or something? You know, like, will, like, do I know, or do I think that will happen, or, sorry, yeah, like, do you think that will happen in our lifetime?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I know that, like, they're, now that we're actually focusing on these issues and addressing things, and now, like, mm-hmm. I mean, they've been doing this for years, you know, but, like,
yeah.
now, again, I think it's because technology is making things more accessible to people and how to, you know, help each other mm-hmm. and communicate against these actions and how to educate each other. I think it was New York, like, ended qualified immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're taking steps, you know, but, like,
yeah.
abolishing the whole police, I don't know, because, like, even if they were to abolish the police, like, let's look at, like, people like Proud Boys, you know, or other militias, mm-hmm. like, they just form something else, you know, like,
yeah, that's true.
They do their own, like, private service, I guess, become yeah. the private police, you know.
Yeah, it's like, can't you just leave well enough alone? Can't yeah. you just, like,
and again, I
go
think it,
away?
I think it feeds into, like, what you said. It's like, once we establish a society where we're helping each other, mm-hmm. we won't really need those things. And, like, when we do, exactly. it's like, it would be much different, you know, mm-hmm. like.
Yeah.
But and, how do we get there?
Yeah. And then I think it's like the people who are against that, it's like, I don't think they can imagine that.
Yeah.
It's like scary to them.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, I think maybe they think that they're like good, like people are either good or bad, you know? And then if the police are gone,
then yeah,
who would they turn to? Yeah, because exactly. they're like, well, then bad people will still be out there. And it's just like, well, people are way more complex than that.
So another thing I learned on that podcast was about Haiti. I didn't know that in, like, the 1800s, Haiti essentially became one of the first, like, anyone who steps in this land is a free person. It doesn't matter your race, yeah. your gender, anything. If you come in here, we're going to take care of each other.
Oh,
and
really?
Literally the rest of the world was just like, how dare you? They, like, blocked their trade ports and everything. And uh-huh. it's just like, they were one of the first people to, like, be like, let's make great change, you know? Yeah. Like, let's treat each other like human beings. And then the rest of the world literally were like, no.
Oh, my God. Like, what? That's
yeah,
terrible.
They destroyed it. They destroyed it. And they created, like, what is it? Apartheid and stuff in, like, South America and
mm-hmm.
all these things. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's like, how do we get out of that? Because that was in the 1800s. And mm-hmm. if, like, America or the whole planet could just, like, you know, control a nation then, you could, there's even more control now. Like,
yeah.
especially with the internet and technology and stuff. It's like,
I know. There's so much out there that I don't know. That we don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to.
And we only know, like, what our oppressors manipulate us into knowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, like the concept of a white lie is essentially like someone deciding what truth they want you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what every oppressor does. You know, like they choose what truth they want you to believe and then you fall for that. And then like,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember which, it was like a philosopher or someone who said it, but like basically like once you've been bamboozled for so long, like,
mm-hmm.
you can't even, like, if someone were to tell you the truth, like, the absolute truth, you wouldn't believe it. Because
yeah.
it's like, you would be so ashamed of being fooled for so long that it's just like, you refuse to mm-hmm. accept that, like, that someone had been oppressing you, like, all these years.
Right. That's, like, related to gaslighting, which
yeah.
is, Oh my gosh. I kind of want to see the original film that that term came from, which is, it was called Gaslight.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It was a film, maybe in the 1940s, I'm going to say. But that's kind of where it originated from, because I think it was like someone, this guy was trying to make this woman believe something.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like where it came from. Yeah.
That's interesting. And then again, there's like people who do that. And so the only solution I can think of is like, if we were to be able to read into each other's minds and like this gaslighter's trying to gaslight you, you just like, know. You'd be like, what are you doing? Like,
no, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get there someday.
I think we will. The singularity is approaching faster than you think. And I mean, like, computers are getting smarter and smarter every day. And like, the algorithms that we create are getting crazy. Like, literally, like, it's to the point where it's like you think of something and your phone shows you an ad for it, you know? Like,
oh, gosh.
They're only going to get, the algorithms are going to get better. They're going to, our computers know you now more than you know yourself.
Oh, you think, like, when you think something, you'll get an ad?
Sometimes. And I think it's going to get better at that. It's going to reach the point that, like, your algorithms will know you so well that when you run out of cereal or, like, when you run out of toilet paper, a drone will already have delivered it to your door because it knew that.
God.
It knew, you know? Like, it knows the days that you run out of these things. Like, because, like, it knows the last time you bought this thing because it has all your purchases, you know? Like,
that's true. Alexa.
Yeah. And they're only getting better, like, because we're feeding all these engines these information, like, across the planet. Like, just like, I mean, look at those Boston Dynamic robots, you know, the spot dogs. Like, I remember a few years ago when, like, they couldn't even, like, walk right. But now, like, they're doing all these crazy things, you know, like,
whoa.
They're now police bots, you know, like, they send them in, like, in New York to, like, police areas.
Wow, okay, I need to look that up because I'm, like, not aware of this.
Oh, it's insane. Like, I'm very, I can predict that.
Oh, no.
Or at least I could see in the future a point where, like right now, how we're in the debates of, like, trans rights and gender rights and all these things. I think one day it's going to be also, like, machines. Like, we're going to have to, like, decide, like, give rights to machines, you know, because they can think like us or in a different way.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they can think for themselves.
That's like iRobot.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm very curious to just, like, see, A, if we make it that far, and B, like, how that will be like.
What will be the outcome of that?
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, if you were a sentient robot and you, like, looked back at history on the way humans treated robots and machines, you'd probably just wipe out humans, you know, like, unless humans were like, okay, yeah, we holding themselves accountable. It's like, yeah, we did all these things. We're sorry. We didn't know any better, you know, it was the past. And so then you make rights and you, but again, I think that the current world we live in would totally abuse that. And, like, machines would just take over and be like, nah, we don't need you anymore. Or dogs. Right, Pearl?
Oh, your dogs would take over?
Yeah.
Pearl, yeah. She'd be like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's about an hour, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got anything else you want to say? Any last thoughts or anything coming to mind? Some broad topics.
Yeah, I know. How am I supposed to follow up with that?
Yeah.
Maybe just keep on learning.
Yeah, always. I think that's one of the most important things.
Empathy. Try to, like, learn about being empathetic, too.
And that feeds into leadership. I watched a video the other day about, like, how most businesses are failing these days because they all hired the most productive employee, you know, like, instead of the people who are the most trustworthy, you know, like, even if they're not the most proactive employees or they're not the best employees, it's the people that, like, have the most trust and will always show up and be there and have your back. That's the people that, like, they choose for the Navy SEAL 6 or whatever, that like super secret, you know, like the highest whatever. They don't choose the most productive people because those aren't the people that you can trust most. Right. They'll throw you under the bus so that they can do more better stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the environment that most businesses breed, because it's like they see them doing more. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh, you should be manager. And then they don't know how to manage because they have no empathy. they only know how to be kind of productive.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
And then it hurts the business model. Yeah. And that's when you get people who leave and quit because they're not training you to be the best you.
Mm-hmm.
I think places of work should train everyone to kind of be the boss. Like, you should basically train to know how to run the place. Mm-hmm. So that, like, in the event of, you know, you just can. Or now that, like, if anything happens, like, you can go to another job and be like, I was the boss at this place.
Yeah.
But we don't, because it's like, bosses are like, oh, they'll take my job, you know? Like, and I don't want to... I want the money. I want the money.
It's all about hierarchy.
Yeah. And we need to change that, because it's the workers that are doing all the work.
Yeah.
Stacey, thanks for being on. You got any plugs you want to talk about, or where they can find you?
You can find me on Instagram at k.llages. And then I also have a website on my Instagram that you can check out as well. I also want to plug Zine Fest Houston,
yes!
which I am an organizer for. We are a independent self-publishing festival, and we have a festival every year where you can find a lot of zines from local creators, regional creators. It's a lot of fun.
Legit. I think after I got you to do my commission, mm-hmm. I think it might be in my phone. I'll show you in a bit. Mm-hmm. I made like a tiny little zine.
So yay!
I want to kind of make that for the next Zine Fest.
Yeah.
Stacey, thanks for being on.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was really fun.
And everyone, thanks for listening.